I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and you're listening to 2ARM 92.1 FM, your local community radio station, adding great tunes to the fabric of Armidale and our local New England. Now, if you're listening in on your wireless on 92.1 FM or online via the online tab on 2arm.net.au, we've got what I'm calling a community spotlight. Now, this morning I've got Denny McKenzie who's come in. She's one of our community members that we're going to talk about today and find out some of her story. Welcome, Denny.
Good morning.
Now tell me, how long have you been in the Armidale area? Where do you live?
43 and a half years.
And where did you come from prior to there?
Melbourne, England, back to Melbourne, and then up to here.
And do you live in Eurala Shire?
No, we did. But when I first came up, my two daughters were at Neggs, and they were very unhappy. And I was pretty unhappy in Melbourne. So I came up here and bought a house. And then the girls became day girls, and I got a job at the university. And then I met the head of Austin College, Alan McKenzie, and we got married. And then I tried having another baby, thinking the first two perhaps needed improving. And so we've got three daughters.
Great. What did you do at university?
Well, to begin with, I was a temporary typist or secretary, you know, one of those roving ones that fill in when people are on long service, holidays.
Sabbatical?
Anything like that. So I got to know everybody, all the academics at UNE. It was a fabulous job, actually.
And was that where your love of your writing and researching came in?
No, I think my love of writing had been before that, but I'd never had enough time. And time is of the essence when you're a writer, as you know. Anyway, so then after we got married, I thought, oh, good, now I can go and do my BA. So I did that. And in the meantime, I had the baby, and I also started up the Baby Elf newsletter, which was to help the Baby Health Centre get money because it wasn't government funded. So I left that little group, came back to finishing my BA, and then I thought, oh, gosh, I really love this writing bit. So I started a thing called Progeny. So Progeny, basically helpful information for new mums, usually translated from some academic journal or whatever. Then Guy went to school here at Neggs.
So tell me, just go back to the Prodigy newsletter. So was that sort of like a self-help pamphlet, magazine, book? What was it?
Well, it followed on from Baby Elf. Baby Elf, if you became a subscriber, you could borrow cots, car seats, anything liked for a baby.
Oh, it was actually baby products. It wasn't the written form.
No, it was things. Oh, yes, there was a written form. It was a magazine sort of thing. I mean, I had sponsors, three sponsors at the back of the magazine that paid for the postage printing, and that was to raise money for the Baby Health Centre. And then, because I loved it so much, I changed the name to Progeny, and then I gave that money to whatever charity I felt like giving it to that year. And I could get $1,000 a year from that. And if you were a subscriber, then if you had your grandchildren coming up, you had the equipment. If you were a mother, you know, bringing up their parent, you know, there's just sort of all sorts of things that they could borrow.
Yeah, right, so how long did that last?
Oh, I don't know. We started in 84, 85, and that went on for a couple of years, maybe 4 years.
Oh, 4 or 5 years. Your children would have been growing now. And,
yeah, yeah.
And what did you get into after that finished?
Golly.
Putting you on the spot here.
Well, I opened up, we bought a place in off Cook's Road, and I opened up another house on it, and we called it Biambalong Children's Farm Riding Holidays. And that was very successful. I even won a tourism New South Wales Tourism Award for that. I was most staggered at that. But just about everybody from the university came riding. People from other parts of the world came and stayed. I've still got friends from 2000. Oh, that's right. Then in the middle of that, I thought, you know, if I had a bit of time, I took up the editorship of Billboard. Now, Billboard had a page in the middle just for the arts, and the Teachers College paid for half that page, and the rest of that money per week had to be got from the artists. So it was just a page of advertising.
That the artist paid for production.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I just go back to the horse riding?
Yeah.
How long did that go for?
12 years.
Wow.
I didn't start it till I was 53.
Right. Well, you must have finished it yesterday.
Oh, yes, yesterday plus another 20 or so.
So Billboard.
Yeah.
So that was in the what publication?
The Independent.
That was in the Independent.
Yeah.
And that was a community arts, cultural type thing.
Yep. And it was bog boring.
And how long did that go for?
Till the next issue.
Oh, I see. So it didn't last very long.
No. I mean, my next issue, I had a photo of people putting on an event. So I then, because Australians hate tall poppies, I called it People in Profile. So there'd be their picture and I'd do the profile, and they weren't allowed to see it until it went to, you know, print. And that was a lot of fun. So therefore, when you opened up that page, you had all the ads, the boring old ads, but you had this photo, and they were going to have a opening next week or, you know, whatever, launching or whatever. You know, it was a lot of fun and met so much talent in Armidale.
Well, that's the great thing about Armidale. So we're a community of musicians and cultural artists and stuff.
I know.
And I suppose the things we've just spoken about, you've actually been able to tease that out of the community and present it.
Yeah.
I suppose what I'm thinking is, if we do this, if we do this community spotlight more regularly than I spoke to you off air, bringing the wealth of experience and knowledge in the cultural arts, whether that's writing, music, performance.
Exactly, all of those.
To the fore
for
people to recognise been done.
The first book I did, because Billboard was an A3 size, you know, newspaper size, and I had files that I could put this page in. And so about 20 years after I finished doing Billboard, the mothers of three of the girls that I'd interviewed said, "So when are you going to write a book about it?" And I said, I've been thinking about that. So anyway, I said, okay, I'll do something. So we called it Jewels of New England, and that book is still available in the library. And that book will tell you, which was published in 2018, the main artists, sculptors, writers, it's named all in alphabetical order. And somebody read it the other day.
So just on that point, Benjamin Thorne is in that book.
Yes.
And he's a presenter here at 2ARM for many years.
Yes.
He does a Sunday afternoon 5 to 7, but it might be 5 to 6.
Yeah.
A lot of he brings forward classical music.
He is, absolutely.
So you told the book was produced in 2018 or published 2018, and it's still available.
Yeah.
Where would you get it?
The library.
In the library.
Yeah.
Could you purchase a copy?
I'm thinking of reprinting it, but I've got to have 100 copies to... Mm. Wendy Beaton at the Ascent Group, the first copy is 100 copies, and they sold for, I can't remember, not terribly much, because I don't like to make profit. So I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about Volume 2, because after I did Jules, then I started on a book called Who the Hell is Phyllis? And it's a tragic story, but it's very funny. even though it's tragic, and particularly because the white Persian cat called Ginny is the narrator. So she every now and again sticks her oar in, you know, and just has been... She's a smart aleck expat cat.
So tell me, I've been told that you were involved in bringing the SBS broadcast to
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
So tell me about that.
Well, Pearly Gates was the head of UNE at the time, and I suddenly found myself on that, and, you know, I'd go off to meetings, and I've got not a lot of recollections of that, to be quite honest. Anyway.
Or you might have been, leave yourself a bit short. You were the doer. The other people had the ideas, and you were the doer and narrated it happened. So tell me, we'll move away from books for a minute. We'll go to last year. You were awarded an OAM on Australia Day Honours list.
Yes.
And that was for your contribution to our community. Now, tell me about what you were doing. I see on the list here you've got your work with McMoore Gardens Hostel.
Yep.
And the Armidale Care for Seniors.
Yep.
So tell me about that. How long were you doing that volunteer stuff?
Yeah, we left. We were living in Urala by that time, Balala actually. So we left in 2018 to go to Sydney, well, actually to go to the Blue Mountains, but so that I could see my grandsons more often. 6 months in, loathed Sydney, hated the air, and said to Alan, sorry, got to come back. So we hadn't built the house we were going to build. And we came back to Sydney. For some reason, as we were coming back, I thought to myself, I really want to become a visitor to an old age or retirement village and just visit them, you know, because a lot of people in those places don't have relations to come and talk to them. And so I started going I found an email dropped into my box and said, we would like somebody to put their hand up to help with visitors to McMoore's. So I rang them and Wendy Allingham answered and she said, oh, that'd be great. Yes, it'd be for... So I started doing that and then I said, oh, well, look, I've written this book, Jewels of New England. I said, I can video that with me reading about each person in that book, each session. So that's what I started. But then COVID came. And so we just went on doing it, but we had to change the format a bit. And then the other one, Care for Seniors, Wendy Allingham again. I was a volunteer at Vinnie's during the time when the government was handing out $3,000 relief packages to farmers. So I helped with that. And then it got so intense, I said, I'll work from home, thank you. And I said to my children, 78 and I've got a job. Wow.
So we might just leave. It sounds like you've done so much for our local community over your time here. You've really given, and I think you're very deserving of the Order of Australia. Congratulations. And you're back with me, Herb, and you're listening to 2ARM 92.1 FM, your local community radio station. And I'm here with Denny McKenzie. And there's a book, Denny, on my desk here called Ned, by D.M. Sadlier. Now tell me, Sadlier, how are you connected with this book?
Yes, well, my father was one of the first entry naval cadets in Australia in 1913, and each state had allocated only X number for that state. So there were two from Western Australia allowed, two from South Australia, two from Tasmania, one from Queensland, and the rest were divvied up between New South Wales and Victoria. So my father was chosen and he joined the cadets in 1913. His father was John Sadlier, and he was a bank manager from Ballarat, etc. But his father, my great-grandfather, that's what this Ned is all about, because he... By the time he arrived in Australia in 1852, the native troopers had been started in 1841. And so when my great-grandfather arrived, he joined the police and the native troopers were still working there. And he was amazed at what they could do, how far they could see, how clever they were in interpreting little signs on the ground. He found that the trackers could track at a gallop, and he was just full of praise for them.
So let's get back to this book called Ned. Now tell me, on notice, what do you think is Australia's sort of preoccupation with bush rangers? Is it our convict past? Is it, you know, the frontier life, the passion for the frontier life back then? Or is it sort of an anti-constabulary type view that Australians have?
It's sort of all of those things. I think that because what the first lot of officers of the army from England and the navy and the gentry were given land, they were called selectors then, and then after a while they were called squatters. Now they had the money, and there was the rest of the convicts who'd got their ticket of leave, and they had no money. So unless they could get a job, then they went bush ranging. Now, have you ever heard of Harry Power?
No, I haven't.
That's the answer I get from most people. He was a collegiate. Well, he was actually, Ned was with Harry. But Harry, whilst he bailed people up and he had a rifle, he never, ever shot anybody. He had the funniest sense of humour, and he was called the Gentleman Bushranger. So there's a bit of him in that, in this book.
So tell me, this is going back to the connection with Sadlier.
Yes, he's my great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather. And what position did he have?
He ended up with inspecting superintendent of the Victorian Police.
Of the Victorian Police. Mm. And this book is obviously about Ned Kelly.
Yes.
The bushranger.
Yes.
So tell me, just take me through briefly some of the things that are that you talk about Ned Kelly in the book. Not chapter by chapter, a general glossary of...
Well, the problem with Ned is that in Australia, or even in England, if you say something like, oh, Ned, they go, oh, you mean Ned Kelly? So, I mean, he's so well known. And they put out some films with Mick Jagger playing Ned. A shocking film, salacious and horrible. And then I found out that my great-grandfather was played by my organist from my boarding school, was playing my great-grandfather. I've only just seen that recently, and that was quite lovely. I mean, Ned was almost, you know, aristocratic by the time they'd finished that one. But Norman Kay was great-grandfather, and he... and
tell me the Ned story. Is it all? Where did you go to actually get the content for? Who did you speak to? Like, how did you actually create the story? Now, I'm assuming that it's fairly factual, or is it a fiction book?
No, it's very factual. Yeah.
So, where did you go to get the facts?
Well, I have got John's original. He wrote a book in 1913.
This was your
great grandfather.
Your great grandfather, Sadlier.
Yeah, and he called it Recollections of a Police Officer. And, of course, I had this book because they're handed down from one generation to another. But he was a very honourable man, very kind. And eventually, the contact that's coming to the launch, I've heard all these wonderful things about him that he doesn't talk about in his book at all. Doesn't
so a lot of the facts, are you saying a lot of the facts in your book come from your great-grandfather?
Yes, but the thing is that because... the universe is one of those places that drop things into things. My daughter, eldest daughter, was down at Shepparton, about to leave as a convent, and I said, have you been to Glen Rowan? And she said, no, what's at Glen Rowan? So I rolled my eyes, fortunately we were on the phone, and I said, oh, no, just that your great-great-grandfather captured Ned Kelly. Oh, I'll pop down to Shepparton, she said. So she gets down to Shepparton, and there's this $5.5 million newly erected pavilion, two of them, that was going to be opened the next day. So I wrote to rang the tourist bureau down there, and they said, oh, yes, well, in what way can I help you? And I said, well, do you have any books on Ned Kelly? Oh, we've got dozens. And I said, well, can you send me a photo of them? And so she did. And so then I said, well, look, I think I could do a slim volume for tourists. They don't want big, heavy books. Mm. And in the photo was one called Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Ned, which I thought was hysterical. So anyway, I got that done, and then I wrote to all the tourist bureaus in Victoria where John had been posted and said, look, I've got this slim volume. If you want to pick it up, that's fine. And then the next thing I knew, this Darren Hawkins emailed me, a long, long email. I was just gobsmacked by what he was saying. And anyway, he's coming up from the launch because he's a documentary film director. And so we're going to have a lot of fun listening to him. Mm. In fact, he's going to be the star too. Just things, again, dropped into the lap all the time.
So you start off with your book by your great-grandfather, but then a lot of things have just come your way as a result of you asking questions, putting it out there to the universe that you're doing something.
Exactly.
And there it happens. So let's go back to the book called Ned. We go through talking about who Ned was, and then it finishes off, obviously, with his capture at the end at Glenrowan.
Mm. It came to me from John's book, and so all I had to do was go through the book word by word and pick out the bits in his words that I thought the general public don't know about, Harry Power being one, put that together. So there's really no chapters, I think. It just sort of flows the way John wrote his book. So it's John's words and then in ordinary font, and it's my words in italics. So I'm not really writing the story. I'm just the person that's going through to get to the book. I'm pulling out his words.
Right, and using his words.
Using his exact words. Exact words. And there's only two things that I changed. One was when all those people were in the pub that they had to burn eventually. He had written, yes, he called them prisoners. I changed it to hostages because if you talk about prisoners today, you see them in a jail. These people in the hotel were hostages. Now, he, in his book, he called it prisoners. Mm. But I thought that was giving a false.
So I'm just flicking through it now, and I can see, you know, something you've got to hear about Captain Whittaker. Mm. Captain Whittaker was sitting reading before a fire, and his daughter sat in a recess behind the door. A bushranger burst into the room and ordered Captain Whittaker to bail up, and at the same time pointing a pistol at him. So they're the words that John wrote in his book.
Mm. Right. Absolutely. Word
gotcha.
For word.
Gotcha.
But I did put in italics. The daughter rushed towards the bushranger. And so she and her father got hold of the bushranger, but the thing was that she grabbed him, and I've got it in italics. I'd be interested to know exactly where she grabbed him.
Right.
Because if she's at the back of him,
yes,
you know, he can't see her, but she knows exactly what to do.
Well, it looks like a very good read. As I'm just flicking through it as we're talking, a very good read. Now, tell me. You mentioned a couple of times there's going to be a launch.
Mm.
So was that the 20 to 21st of March?
21st of March. It's a Thursday, deliberately so, at 5:30 at the Lodge Theatre. Now, this is a new venture for Gordon Cope, who was in my first Jules book. So what we're doing is we've got me giving this little background, and then Darren and his other co-producer doing a play reading, and then Darren's also going to talk about some of his previous work, and I'll have Wendy Beaton there, who is the head honcho, the Ascent Group, and my youngest daughter, our daughter, Skye, is coming up from Sydney for the event because she did most of the work in producing the copy.
Gotcha. So, the event. The Lodge Theatre.
Theatre is the old Masonic.
The old Masonic Lodge.
Yes. He's turning it into a theatre.
Oh, okay.
But it only holds 50 people.
Right.
So if you want to come, you've got to let me know. Otherwise, we might have to put the launch on again or have something else, you know.
Yeah. Is there an entry fee?
Nope.
Will there be for refreshments?
Yes.
Right. And you can buy the book?
Yes. And signed.
And you can get it signed. And how much will the book be?
$15.
$15 for the book? It looks like a damn good read. From what I've had a quick gleam, 118 pages. I think we might just call it quits pretty, unless you've got something else you'd like to add. Before we go, I will add thank you very much for all your contribution to the community and a well-earned OAM awarded to you. And the proof's in the pudding from what you just told us. And I wish you all the luck with this Ned story. And there is a website, but I'm sure if you Google Ned by D.M. Sadlier, you'll certainly find it. So thanks again. This has been a great community spotlight, Denny. Will I call you Denny McKenzie or Denny Sadlier?
Well,
which one would you prefer?
Denny will do.
Denny, yeah. So thanks again for coming into Community Spotlight.
And thank you.
You've a wealth of contribution to the community, of which, as I say again, thank you very much for that contribution that you've made.
Thank you very much.